Welcome back to this, the second ever episode of Shutter Weekly. Thanks so much for joining me. My name is Nick Friend. It's really good to be here. I'm glad that you're here. I hope you're having a good day. And this week, the week of July 1st, I'm going to recap the last week. Some interesting camera news that we came across. First up is a camera company that nobody can ever afford, Leica. Leica came out with their new Leica ME camera, which is essentially a Leica M that can do video. There's really not much to say else about that. And they also have this really interesting fact about it that has a 2 gigabyte buffer rate, which basically means this camera is always going to be ready to shoot. There's going to be a very little downtime in between your clips. It's 1080p only. I really would have loved to see 4K in the Leica ME. I think that would have been an interesting option for them to choose. They chose not to. I guess that is their way of preserving their higher class of cameras that they like to sell. Canon came out with a couple of new sensors. They came out with a 120 megapixel ultra high resolution sensor that shoots 9.4 frames a second. It's the sensor only, as is the next one that I'm about to talk about. These are mostly going to be used for industrial or medical reasons. I am curious about the trickle down of this technology. We might see some ultra high resolution from Canon in the next couple of years. They also came out with a 2.7 megapixel ultra high sensitivity camera or sensor, not camera, that it gives extremely low light sensitivity. It's monochrome only, which means it's black and white. To give you perspective, the sort of low light monster that we've all come to love, which is the Sony A7S II, that's 12 megapixels. So you can imagine that at 2.7 megapixels, which is effectively 4 times more sensitive if you do the math on like resolution and what the, I'm guarantee you that's wrong, but that's what I'm doing. People would use the A7S II to shoot videos in moonlight. So I can only imagine what kind of image we can get from a 2.7 megapixel ultra high sensitivity sensor from Canon. Canon's also getting ready to announce a new EOS R type camera. It's apparently going to be a lot like the 1D X Mark II, but in the EOS R form factor, which I think is great because the 1D X Mark II is one of the best cameras ever made, but it is a bastard to hold because that thing is huge and heavy. So I'm excited to see a camera with those kind of specs in the form factor of the EOS R, which is an ergonomic powerhouse. That thing is so easy to hold and it's very intuitive. Canon is also expected to announce the 1D X Mark III alongside the new EOS R type camera, which I think is a welcome occurrence. I'm excited to see what they'll do in terms of innovation. I think they're kind of lackluster in terms of the competition. So hopefully they'll be able to step it up with the 1D X Mark III. Nikon has licensed their mount to Tamron and Sigma once again. So hopefully we'll start to see some Tamron and Sigma Z mount lenses. So that's going to broaden the spectrum for their Z6 and Z7 cameras, which I'm very excited about because I think the Z6 is kind of a bit of a sleeper in terms of video because I went over this last week. It's all about color space with that camera because you can get a 10-bit 422 image out of that full-frame sensor from a Nikon camera, which the ergonomics of that thing, just like the EOS R, incredible. And it is a wonderful camera to use. I've had my hands on it a couple of times. But yeah, I'm excited to see third-party companies incorporating themselves into this world. It's only going to be good for competition. Samsung coming out with a new phone. It's called the Note 10. And the interesting thing about this is they're actually going to be incorporating a 3-stage variable aperture lens on this phone. I almost said camera there. They used to have a 2-stage variable aperture on their S line of phones where you could choose between 1.8 and 2.4 stops on your aperture. This is going to have a 3-stage one. I don't know if they're going to go wider or they're going to go tighter, but I hope they go tighter because that will mean much better sharpness and focus accuracy inside of the Note 10, which is their absolute flagship of all flagships. It's the best phone that they make. The one thing that I like about this with Samsung putting in a 3-stage variable aperture lens inside of their phones, it lets me know that Samsung is taking photography seriously. And not just taking images seriously, but taking photography seriously. They're giving us creative options to explore more ways to shoot photos and videos creatively with a phone. And this is something that I love. I think phones are a huge part of film and photography's future, and it's exciting to see companies like Samsung starting to take that stuff more seriously. All right, we'll take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about the Fuji GFX 100 medium format mirrorless camera. Mm-hmm. This podcast is brought to you by you. If you are a supporter of this podcast already, thank you so very much. If you are not, please check out the link below to give some love and give some support to this podcast. It is not possible without you. This podcast is also brought to you by Artlist. Artlist is royalty-free music for your video and film production needs. Basically, you sign up for a one-year license and you pay it up front and you have access to their entire library of royalty-free music for any type of shoot that you have. You have one license to rule them all. And I have been using this service for going on 4 years now, and I cannot recommend it more highly. It has saved my bacon more times than I care to admit. And it is always an option for me to go to for music. I haven't even considered using other services in the past, and I don't plan on doing so in the future. So if you need music for your videos, artlist.com. Okay, thanks for coming back. Thanks for being patient. Main story today is going to be about the Fuji GFX 100 medium format mirrorless camera. Let's just think about that for a second. Medium format mirrorless. This hasn't been around for that long. The first camera that really comes to mind that actually accomplished this for me was the Hasselblad X1D 50C, and they just came out with the second version of that. I think I told you about that last week. But then Fuji started coming out with some interesting stuff. They had the GFX 50, and then they had some GFX weird kind of hybrid between like an X-T two and a GFX series camera, but they just came out with their new one, which is the GFX 100. So this is a medium format mirrorless camera that shoots 102 megapixel photos. I don't know if you heard that correctly. I'm going to say it a little bit louder. 102 megapixel photos. That's insane. That is absolutely absurd that you can produce an image with that high resolution now for less than the price of a medium-sized Mercedes SUV. Essentially, this camera's going toe-to-toe with cameras like the Phase 1 for a fraction of the price in terms of photography. But my interest in this camera is actually about the way that you can accomplish video shoots. And I think the headline feature, so we'll run down the features real quick, but the headline feature on this camera is that you have in-body image stabilization on a medium format sensor. In-body image stabilization is not an easy technological feat for companies to accomplish. And the fact that Fuji is able to do that on a medium format camera, I'm pretty sure is a world first. Second of all, allows you to eliminate the inherent issue of video on a medium format camera that is rolling shutter, because the sensor readout from top to bottom is a lot farther than it would be on a full frame camera or on an APS-C or Micro Four Thirds camera. But with in-body image stabilization, it effectively mitigates the problem. Not completely, but to a very large degree. Medium format also gives you a 1.7 times enlargement, at least in this camera, over full frame, which means you're getting a much, much bigger surface area to record your color imagery, which leads me to the next thing I want to talk about, which is this camera's color science. Basically, inside of the camera, if you record to one of your two available SD card slots, you can get 4K 10-bit 420 recording in camera, which is pretty good. 10-bit, I really like to see 10-bit inside of the camera. That's great. But for the 420, that's okay. But the really cool thing about this camera is that you do a 4K 10-bit 422 image via the HDMI out, which gives you full sensor readout. This is a full sensor, full medium format sensor readout. So it's the entire width of the camera's sensor for a 4K image. So this is real medium format video. If you don't know the difference between 422 and 420, basically 420 is the equivalent of having around 16.5 million colors. I think it's just more, it's like 16.7 or something like that. But 422 effectively gives you over a billion colors. So the difference between one pixel and another can be much more specific and allow you to be more accurate with your color and give you more accuracy when you're working on the color grade, which is really, really exciting because you can get massively, massively improved image quality from 422 than you can from 420. And this camera gives you both. So you have the speed of 422 if you want it. You also have the accuracy of 422 if you need it. Effectively, what this means is you can push the image a lot further in post. This camera also has Fuji's kind of legendary film simulations built in. They have 16 in this camera. And a lot of people don't know what these are. They're much more complex than just like adding an Instagram filter to your image. They take a really long time, in some cases like over a year, to develop these camera profiles. And they're based on actual Fuji films that have been used in the past and are being used at present. And they actually are based on a preset emotion that some of these color scientists expect these images to be used for. And so these are very bespoke image profiles. They're called film simulations that you can use on your medium format video in the GFX 100. That's really interesting to me because it allows you to kind of pre-color grade your image, but with the intent and science and accuracy of the Fuji team working behind you on that. So that's really interesting. Now, I'm not particular to shooting color baked into my video. It's not something that I typically like to do. But Fuji, I think, realized that I'm not alone in my opinion on this issue, and they allow you to record the film simulation from Fuji. For instance, if you use like Fuji Eterna, which is kind of like their moodier, a little bit low contrast version film simulation that they have. So say you have Fuji Eterna recording on the camera. If you are feeding that image out of the HDMI and you're going to, say, an Atomos Ninja 5 and recording your 10-bit 422 image onto the Ninja 5, you can send out an F-log image. So now you are effectively recording the same image twice with two separate camera profiles. So this allows you to have the preconceived notion of your color grade in front of you on the actual camera, and then the safety of recording it in log and making sure that all of your highlights and shadows are preserved inside the image in your external recorder. This is a very smart move from Fuji, and it's very, very forward thinking. It really lets me know that they are taking video seriously, which is really nice for them to see. They're not just a photo company. They are kind of, at this point, with that feature alone, they're leading the way in medium format DSLR video. Other things about this camera is that you have built-in zebras and histogram and a touch screen, which is really interesting because it's all swipe gestures, which you'll be used to the interface of this camera because it's all gesture-based, which is pretty cool. You basically slide up and down to change your white balance, your shutter speed, your aperture, all that stuff. I mean, you have hard controls that you can actually change those things with the dial, but the touch screen on the back allows you to do so as well. It has two massive batteries that go into the built-in grip on the bottom of the camera. And it has finally has an accurate autofocus that uses eye autofocus. And it actually works. There was an example video done by Muse Storytelling, which I'll link below, that actually shows them shooting an interview, a full-on production with an interview, using autofocus. So they had to use native medium format lenses from Fuji and the Fuji GFX 100, using eye autofocus to actually record an interview, and it works and it looks fantastic. This is a huge step forward for Fuji, and I think that they are moving in the right direction with this, kind of embracing the fact that there are a lot of people that like to use autofocus in their productions, and it's becoming more and more of a ubiquitous tool. That's the most exciting thing for me. Finally, I want to talk just about Fuji and why they may have made this camera. And I think it's because Fuji understands the value of innovation. Fuji is, for lack of a better term, Fuji is a bit of an oddball company. They've always kind of been okay with being sort of that weird guy at the party that nobody actually talks to, but nobody has a problem with. And this is kind of, this camera is effectively, to use the same metaphor, this is effectively like Fuji suddenly breaking out their hidden talent at a party and they become the cool guy. This camera, I think, is leaps and bounds ahead of its competition because aside from the kitchen sink, basically everything is in this camera. You have awesome in-body image stabilization on a medium format sensor, which is, as far as I know, never been done before. So that's a world first. You've also got that legendary Fuji color from all of their different film simulations. You've got F-Log, you've got 422, you've got 10-bit, you've got 4K, you've got full sensor readout, you've got weather sealing, you've got all of these different amazing features, huge batteries, all day battery life, autofocus. I mean, I could go on and on and on about how much I think this camera is a massive, massive leap forward. I got to give praise to them. I mean, it doesn't even matter that this camera is $10,000 because of how innovative it is as a piece of hardware. this is going to be the start of a really interesting trickle down, because I think that medium format is now becoming more ubiquitous than it has in the past. Medium format has always had the stigma of being for the elite shooters and for the elite creators. I think this really gives you the option to sort of bring it down to the smaller productions. So we're going to see really cinematic and really interesting imagery from a lot more people because of cameras like this. So I really think that Fuji is ahead of the curve. I highly recommend checking out this camera. If I could buy it today, I certainly would, but unfortunately I don't have $15,000 to buy a camera and a lens. So we'll see. Hopefully I can get my hands on this thing, give you guys a long-term test of it, but that's pretty much all I have this week. If you like the podcast, go ahead and share it with your friends. If you loved it, I would really appreciate it if you subscribed. We push out new episodes every single Monday, and we give you a little recap on the world of camera technology. And if that's something that you're into, please go ahead and click the subscribe button. And I will see you next week. Peace.